At Raising Cane's, we hand batter every chicken finger, mix every cane sauce, butter every Texas toast, stir every slaw, and salt every fry. Because when you do it right, you can taste it in every bite. Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Afraid to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Spot and four. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen with you in studio. Hour 3 is sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
The Co.
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. Also, shout out to Anderson Ford at 27th and I-80 and 33rd and Yankee Hill. Another great day, Sip, to test drive a vehicle at either location.
Test drive and buy.
You could see Mike Anderson. You could see David from Renew / Warhorse / now Anderson, or Nate Fredericks and crew out there.
David is a great friend of the show.
Great breaker. Been great texting breaker all morning long, actually. Jackson.
Thank you, David. And we do notice.
We see them all.
Yeah. We appreciate David a lot. David's one of the guys that comes in and you're just glad to see him.
Yep.
He's always
usually happy, smiling, typically happy.
But he's very thoughtful, too. Thoughtful in that he has thoughts, you know.
Yeah, he's never going to be absent-minded. He'll give you his opinion. By the way, again, before you get to Sean, please stop by till 9 a.m. We've got free coffee, compliments of Pinnacle Bank, free drip coffee. Stop by on behalf of Cedars. They're also giving away a golf package to that we'll give away tomorrow.
To
Tatanka.
Tatanka.
So come by. Doug Gant's still here. Jim Blue. We got Adrian. We got Tina. We've got Kristen, and we got free coffee. Till 9 a.m.
Yeah, why not come down? Say hi to them. They're very welcome.
We are at 1040 O Street. Come see us. Come
DP's
say hi.
Here.
Yes.
Farley was here. Swim's here. It's quite a party.
We are joined now by Husker Online Sean Callahan. Sean, good morning, Nebraska. Very big weekend ahead. Softball tomorrow in Oklahoma City. We got baseball here on Friday. We'll start with that, Sean. First time since 2008 a regional comes to Lincoln. Were you surprised to see the news this weekend on that at all?
No. I mean, I think they did what needed to be done in the non-conference, within the conference, and the midweek. I mean, they got a win over Auburn in the non-con. They beat Florida State. They scheduled properly in the midweek. They didn't have any quad three or quad four losses, which I thought was huge when you kind of looked at their record. They didn't have any bad losses. In terms of that quad four killer. I mean, we'd seen Nebraska lose to UNO or, South Dakota State or, somebody of that nature. Even Creighton had their number recently. And they took care of all those things on top of the way they scheduled and won in the non-conference. So, well-deserved. It's not easy to do. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is the first time in the 15-year history of the Big Ten Conference for Nebraska that they've hosted a regional. It's just, as a Big Ten school, this is not an easy accomplishment. And, there's the two newer Big Ten teams, like Oregon and UCLA, and even USC was close, but they're different. They're not a traditional northern school. So for Nebraska to get this done, kudos to Will Bolden and the plan they had in place, and then they had to execute it.
Sean Callahan joins us. Sean knows about all sports. He specializes in football. We're going to stay on baseball here.
Sean, you're informing everybody that.
It's what he does, Sean. You know that. It's what he does.
Not everybody knows you.
Thanks for the solid intro.
DraftKings, Sean, considers Nebraska the second least likely regional host to advance this past weekend. What did you think of the draw Nebraska got?
It's an extremely difficult draw. I mean, it's almost a grab bag regional because you look at the RPIs, the quality of the top three teams. Now, Nebraska does get a gift, not a gift, but a very fortunate draw to get South Dakota State, which I believe has the worst RPI in the field.
239. 239.
which is, I believe, the worst. If not the worst, it's like one of the two worst.
Okay.
So you get the first game. Hopefully you can manage that and save everybody and get to the next game. Because the next game will be the most important game of the regional. If you can win game two, then you're in position at that point. But you've got to obviously win this first game. And knowing Nebraska, I still think they will throw Yasa. And that's what our writers, Sam Ojeda, speculated as well, that they're not going to like get cute and try to, you know, save a guy for. I think they'll play it normal and keep things in rotation. But yeah, the draw is really difficult because Ole Miss easily could have been a host team. Arizona State, I believe, lost the Big 12 by like a game. So a team that was right there to win the Big 12, and they're a baseball traditional school. So this is an extremely difficult draw. I mean, you could argue of all the regionals that have come to Nebraska, this is as good of a group of teams. I mean, I know Miami's been up here before, and UC Irvine and some other good programs in recent history. But this is a very, very difficult draw to have three teams like this in Lincoln.
Sean, within the last month, we had a lot of controversy about the seeding of the regional. It was a hypothetical. If Nebraska was going to host a regional, there was a message sent out that people did not like that were season ticket holders. Now that we know that the tickets happened, sold out, what did you hear from the forums or friends about how this went down of getting tickets for the regional?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're already in a predicament because several hundred season tickets are already going to be taken out of the consideration because they're held for the opponents. So there's no feasible possible way to guarantee people their seats. So that right there needs to be known. Like, it's not like, hey, I have this seat over here. Well, now it's taken by South Dakota State or whoever the opposing team is that gets those seats. But yeah, I think the one thing that got my attention is you are only allowed two tickets per account.
Okay.
So if you had like four season tickets or six or eight, I believe you could only have two. So I think they did that because they wanted to make sure a lot of people got an opportunity to get into the game. But you know, this is almost 20 years ago the last time they've done this, so you can't really like reference like how it was done in 08 because the world has changed a lot since 08 in terms of college athletics. But that said, I think the one thing that was probably tough is I didn't realize this, Jake. A lot of the baseball tickets don't require a donation. In fact, I was told about half or over half. So those people don't donate like $50 a seat or $100 a seat on top of the ticket cost. They just pay the ticket cost. So in this new system, you know, you're in a pretty tough spot where if you would just have given $100 annually, the minimum number to meet the Hall of Fame level, I believe that's what it's called, that level of donation, you could have picked your seats at 1 o'clock. And you know, we have basketball tickets that are like $50 seats. And we were able, at 1 o'clock, I can tell you, I could have gotten two reserve seats with chairbacks. But then by two or three, they were obviously all gone. So it was that tight of a margin where there was this group of people that didn't really have an opportunity to, you know, and they didn't realize that they were going to be out of luck by not donating even $100 to Nebraska. So then they got the opportunity to get the general admission seats or the home run club outfield seats. But yeah, it is what it is. I mean, it's a tough deal. I don't envy the athletic department, but that's what they're paid to do, to manage these situations. And there are some people that like that look, they give a lot of money and support Nebraska. Just because they don't go to all 24 games doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to have an opportunity to get tickets based on how they support the school. So I think there's a lot of ways to look at it, but I don't know if there's an easy way to get out of it either.
You addressed it really well,
yep.
Sean. You did. You understand that stuff at a high level. Now, what I'm asking this question, I don't know the answer. I think I know the answer, but is taking care of donors more important than ever right now?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if there's people that are giving thousands a year on top of ticket cost, that thousands a year is very important to the whole operation. And, you know, you have to have a system in place. That's just what it comes down to. And baseball, again, they haven't been in this position in so long, so you can't, like, go back to, well, this is how it was done in 08 or 06. You can't. I mean, it's just different era. It's just like, you know, like you trying to say this is how we did it at the Journal Star. No, it's different now, Sip. I mean,
right. It's just, well, they weren't paying players in 08, for one thing, right? They weren't paying athletes.
Right? Yeah, they're it just.
You're listening to this podcast, so I know you've got a curious mind. Here's a helpful fact you might not know yet. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $900 on average. Pop over to progressive.com, answer some questions, and you'll get a quick quote with discounts that are easy to come by. In fact, 99% of their auto customers earn at least one discount. Visit progressive.com and see if you can enjoy a little cash back. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $946 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2024 and May 2025. Potential savings will vary. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. You've got weight loss goals, but hitting them is another story. Enter Weight Loss by Hims. It's designed to support you in losing the weight and keeping it off. And Hims now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary, and it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and an in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/earlybreak to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/earlybreak. hims.com/earlybreak. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com.
They were in a different conference. Mm-hmm. And it was just a totally different setup of how the game was. And a lot of people, I mean, the tickets all sold regardless. I mean, like it just, right. I mean, they sold out and that should be what you want. And, but yeah, I get it on all ends. It would be frustrating if you thought you had reserve seats, but again, you would only get two no matter who you are. That was the other thing. So like a family of four, you know, that was a deterrent why we're going to be gone, Sip, you and I, but I'm like, mm-hmm. Hey, Lisa, do you guys want to go? And we can only have two tickets. So, I mean, that was a tough predicament for families because, like, well, I got more than one kid or, you know, so we want to. So, yeah, they tried to make it equitable where everybody got an opportunity to get at least two because if they would have let you get four or more, I mean, those tickets would have been gone by probably 11 a.m.
To be clear, Lisa is your wife.
My wife.
Yes. this is a big day. It is a big day. It's a big news day. It'll be 2 p.m. Wednesday is the day that...
Where'd you get that information from?
I'm reading your column right now,
on HuskerOnline.com.
Yeah, Jake does too. Early kickoff times will be announced today. We'll learn Nebraska's first three kickoff times and TV networks. Sean, what are you expecting?
I think a lot of BTN, maybe one FS1 game. I would imagine of the first three, you'll get probably a combo of one night, 1:11 and 1:230. If I just had a guess, this is a pure guess, but I think the Ohio game probably has a little for week one because I don't think there's a lot of great Big Ten week one games. That might get to FS1, and we'll see where that lands in the time frame. But North Dakota and Bowling Green are BTN all the way, and I do think for BTN there's probably some attraction to air the Bowling Green game because of Eddie George as a head coach. He's never coached against the Big Ten school yet. So there'll be some good Big Ten story there for them with Eddie George, the former Heisman winner from Ohio State, coaching Bowling Green and Lincoln. But the Iowa one's probably the one I'm most interested in. It's been early in Lincoln, and the last time we were in Iowa City, it was a night game. So how does the draw fall there? Like, will it be night or will it be early?
Yeah.
Because NBC has that pick, and it's a big deal to get the night game. Makes it a lot tougher to go to Kinnick for a November night game that time of year.
Oh God, yes, Jake. Yeah, it is.
So sure. We'll see where they do. And the they used to announce the homecoming kickoffs, but now a lot of those are flexed. So we probably won't even know the exact homecoming kickoffs anymore, because they flex everything now. After the first 3 weeks, they pretty much, unless you're a pre-selected game by the conference networks, and they get like so many of those picks, like five per network, they'll flex everything else, because you can't afford to put a dud on CBS now or NBC or Fox. It's got to be a good game. So they'll wait until, as we know, that 7-day or 12-day window, they'll wait all the way on most of these games.
Okay.
Joined by Sean Kellen. Sean, Sip and I were both reading another column from Husker Online by Brian Munson over the weekend about the run of recruiting that Jeep Wade is on.
Yes, yes.
On the offensive line. And he put on the column that he said, thought that this is the best recruiting team that Nebraska staff that Nebraska's had since the Bill Callahan era. Do you see it that way as well regarding this current staff of recruiters?
Yeah, it's just different. Recruiting is not like recruiting of the Bill Callahan era, where, you know, or when Bill Bush and John Blake and, you know, so many of these guys were landing prospects, because it was a different style. I mean, it was about the relationships of the living room, but there's a negotiation element now in how you manage your recruiting. And but Jeep has gotten them in with, you know, getting Timmy Alu and, you know, some of these guys that they've landed, KD Jones as of late, and, you know, you go down the line, and there's more coming. So they're in a great spot. I mean, I think when you look at where we're at or where Nebraska's at for late May, mm-hmm. Heading into official visits, they should probably be at 13 commits is our projection right now before an official visit even starts, which is an outstanding spot for them to be in.
The official visit starting next week?
June 5th.
June 5th. What's today?
May 27th.
So we're on the cusp. We're on the cusp.
That'd be next Friday.
Sean, is there a this was posed on our live chat yesterday on Husker Online.
Hut.
Yeah, on three. Is Nebraska emphasizing starting inside and working out more now? Here's the question. Is that where the money goes first now?
Yeah, I think if we've learned anything about Pat Stewart in this last year, because really he didn't get the recruiting class before that. He's had the portal this year and now high school recruiting this year.
Okay.
There's been a heavy emphasis on the O-line. Look what they did in the portal. They got three.
Right.
They got three D linemen in the portal as well, and they wanted more, obviously. It just didn't pan out. But then you start to look at what he's done in the high school ranks and the old linemen they've gotten there. And they've got, I believe it's seven defensive linemen edge players visiting in June. So that will really kind of tell the tale there. But I think the thought is like, yeah, get the linemen guys. You can never have enough of them, and develop them in your program. Because if you have to go out and buy these guys later in the portal, it's a lot more money. So, you know, I think there's an approach where they're really trying to get the right linemen in this program to build for the future, because clearly that has not been the case. They just have not been athletic enough as of late, and the consistency with up front on defense has not been there. They have some good players here and there, as we know, with Robinson and Huttmacher and players like that, but they just haven't had enough of that to win. When you go back to like what a Pelini D-line looked like, you know, when you go back to some of the D-linemen that had been here when the last time Nebraska had real consistency.
Yeah, Vincent Valentine, Malik Collins, Avery Moss, Barry Turner, guys like that, right?
Gregory.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I forgot Randy Gregory.
Your boy. That's your guy. Well, how could you forget him?
On top of that, they had other guys develop. I mean, all of a sudden, Eric Martin produces as an edge guy. I believe he had almost 10 sacks 1 year.
Eight and a half.
And you speak of, like, they didn't have a guy last year with more than 2.5.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sean, last thing, you mentioned you won't be here for the regional because you'll be traveling with Sip. Where are you guys going this weekend, for those who don't know what you're covering?
Yeah, I'm on full Sip watch this weekend.
Good luck with that. Best of luck.
Take him around to his doctor's appointments and get his prescriptions.
Take him to the beach, Sean.
Throw me in.
Make sure he eats his breakfast. No, we're going to be at the Elite 11 in L.A.,
yes.
Manhattan Beach.
Yes.
So Trey Taylor will throw Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we land at 5:15 Pacific time, and it's 10 minutes from LAX. So we'll get there, and it begins at 6:15 on Friday night.
Yeah,
so
we got to rock and roll.
And then it goes to like 9. So we'll be there for the first day, and then the second day is in the evening again, and then Sunday it's in the morning, and we take a flight home Sunday night. So it times out perfectly for us to cover all 3 days. And you have Braylon Warren there locally as well. But for Trey Taylor, Charles Powers ranked his workout in the Elite 11 preliminary workouts the second best workout of all quarterbacks. And Charles Power is our main national analyst that, you know, is the true talent evaluator for On3. So this is a big opportunity for Trey to push himself. Maybe, I mean, if he looks good enough out here, he could be a five-star. So you just don't know where it could go. But I've never been to Elite 11. I've known the guys that have run this for over 20 years. Brian Stumpf and that crew used to be student sports in Elite 11. And so it should be a lot of fun to be out there and take that in and just get a feel for that. And I'd imagine there'll be a lot of other people in the stands or part of it that we'll get to talk to as well that should provide for some very interesting Steve Sipple columns.
Trey Taylor, Sean, we were struck by him immediately. We got to go to break here. But when he was here last June, it was – you remember how freaked out I was when I saw him first throwing. I'm looking forward to seeing what this looks like.
Well, obviously the velocity, but his release, how quickly he gets it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that jumps out.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at just how it comes out and how fast it comes out, like those are just things you can't teach. And this is a big opportunity for Trey. And Nebraska's had a lot of quarterbacks in the years take part in this Elite 11, but you could argue Trey has a chance to do as well as any of them. And that includes Dylan Raiola when he went to this thing. I mean, he made the Elite 11, I believe. But there's 20 quarterbacks here, by the way, and then 11 make the Elite 11.
Okay, thank you, Sean.
Sean, always good stuff. Enjoy the trip out west. Take care of Sip, and we'll talk to you next week.
We'll have content. This will get us through the slow season, all the California Sipple stories.
So. Yeah, man, we look forward to it. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Good job, Sean.
Husker Online, Sean Callahan.
What's wrong with you guys? Making fun of the old man.
Well, you need some help sometimes, and we're here for you. When we come back, Lance Harvell, Nebraska assistant baseball coach in studio to discuss the regional next on Early Break in the Ticket.